Tani Dei Torah, Manshta Chof Gimel, this Tovshin Ayin Vav Rabbi Moshe Stamler.
Good morning, everybody. Now, I've been up this morning since 5 o'clock. Although I did use the time to prepare the show, the reason I got up wasn't for that. It was because a lot of children, Baruch Hashem, left. Not Baruch Hashem, they left, but Baruch Hashem, they've been here and they left, still including my Mechutin's joint children. They're on the way to Gatwick this morning after a lot of adventure. Whilst we're here over Yontov, we heard this strange union. We had some of the children keep 2 days, some of them keep 1 day, and the whole time we're thinking, is it Yontov for them? What's their laning and so on? So I wanted to speak about the union, and I was thinking about what to speak about the union of Bnei Yisrael and Chutzaretz, Bnei Chutzaretz and Yisrael, about Kriyas HaTorah and so on. Interesting that last night I got a phone call. Rabbi Nachum David told me that this week is the start of the day is being sponsored by Dudi Iskovich in London, Leinish was his father, Rav Shimon, whose Yahrzeit is today. Now, I first met Rav Shimon about 25 years ago on his travels. He was always traveling all over the place, and he traveled when I was in Glasgow, and he got to know us there. And we had a chavrusa in Manchester for many years together. And since this is a share about people traveling, and Shimon did a lot of good when he traveled, he was always very makpid to try a with a minion. There's a yid here, Shomer Torah Mitzvot, a Haimish yid here in Manchester, who's here in Manchester because of Shimon's encouragement. He was always found people. So very appropriate that this should be something I should speak about on his yahrzeit. I was very pleased to know that today is his yahrzeit, and I should speak about this L'ilui Nishmas of Shimon Mechol Tzvi Ben Avram. Also, on Motzei Shabbos, towards the Nidisag Hag, Rabbi Cohen and Hadassah Shurin spoke, and he's quoted the Gemara. The Pasuk says they went 3 days in the Midbar, they couldn't find water, and the Gemara says, the Gemara in Baba Kama daf pei beis, Doshir Shumas Omru, Ein Maim Ela Torah. They went 3 days without water, means they went 3 days without the Torah. Shenema Hoi called Samei Luchula Maim. Kivin Shaholchu Shloshis Yomim below Torah, Nilo. They went 3 days without Torah, they became weary. Omdu Nevi'im Shebeneihim, the Nevi'im amongst them stood up, for Tikdu Lahem Sheyukorin B'Shabbos, they should lay on Shabbos, and have Sikin Be'ech B'Shabbos, and stop on the first of Shabbos. For Korin B'Sheni, and laid on Monday, or Masikin Shlishi Revi, the Korin B'Chamishi, or Masikin Erev Shabbos, because they should lay on Shloshis Yomim below Torah. So they shouldn't be without 3 days of Torah. Now, when was that? That was where they left Har Sinai, Vayasa Moshe Sa'am, they left Har Sinai. That was on the Achron Shel Pesach. That was on the Erev, well, this year called Erev Shabbos. They went 3 days without the water that comes out Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. So today is the fourth day. So it's very appropriate that today, which is just the fourth day after those 3 days, we should be talking about the union of Kriyas HaTorah. He asked the Kashta on this. It says they went 3 days without Torah, but the Torah hadn't been given yet. This was just after the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Zohar says, when the Pasuk says, Vayasa Moshe Sa'am, it doesn't mean he made them travel away because, as Rashi learns, the Bizas HaYamsuf, it was because they got such hasogas at Kriyas Yamsuf, Ra'asa Shivcha Layom. They saw the Shekhinah in a way, in an amazing way. They were looking, they wanted to see the Shekhinah again. They went to the Midbar, and they were, after 3 days, Moshe told them, we're going out, we'll have the Shekhinah there in the Midbar. After 3 days, they couldn't see the Shekhinah. Vayelch al Midbar, sure is the lotion of looking. They were looking for the Shekhinah, they couldn't see it. So Moshe said, you see the Shekhinah through the Torah. So it was Mesakim for them, a Kriyas HaTorah, and through that they can see the Shekhinah through it, through the Amelis HaTorah. They were the Anei Kovet, it's true, but the actual, to see the Shekhinah, the Shekhinah of the Sinai, Kriyas Yamsuf, that they would only see at Sinai, but the Hachonah for it was through Amelis HaTorah.
So what did they learn?
It's interesting. So he was stuck in them. They must be Kriyas HaTorah. But I don't know whether it's the parashas already that they had already. The parashas that had been given of Korban Pesach, maybe. It's interesting. They were good enough. So that's why I said it must be. Yes. So there's plenty of Torah. There was plenty of Torah. Yes. So that they were always again that. Right. So I like to start with a tshuva about the inyan of a ben chutz aretz who's in Eretz Yisrael on the last day of Yontov. So last Shabbos for us was the Achron Shel Pesach. For Bnei Eretz Yisrael, it was Isru Chag, so it was a normal Shabbos, so they laned Parshas Achrimos. So can a ben chutz aretz have an aliyah in a minyan of bnei eretz Yisrael? Let's say he's in a place where he hasn't got his own minyan of bnei chutz aretz. It's only bnei eretz Yisrael, and can he have an aliyah to this minyan? This is the shaila. So there are many tshuvas on this. So one tshuva is the tshuva of Betzei Lachachma. That was Rabbi Tzalel Stern, Zichron Livracha. I actually knew him when I lived in Israel. If I had jumped out of my window, I would have crashed through the roof of the Beis HaMedrash below into the Beis HaMedrash, Zimmerberg Beis HaMedrash. He was the Rav there. He was a very unassuming person. I could see he was a Chosh of a Yid, but I had no idea if it was a Chachma until I started learning his forum. He was a Rav in Rome after the war. And then where he had started the yeshiva for 6 years, he was also a rov in Vienna. He was a rov in Australia. And lots of the tshuvas you see are the shailas about people traveling to Israel on ships and so on, as we're going to see later on. And his interesting take on this, he goes through very thoroughly through the inyan. I've abbreviated this, about the inyan of a person in Israel, ben chutz aretz, can he have an aliyah in a minyan of bnei Israel? So first of all, he points out that there are various stages in the takana of Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara we just mentioned before speaks about the Moshe with some sakin that they should lain on Shabbos and the weekday and so on. This Gemara does not say that they lained the Parshas HaShavua. It just said they lained. Later on, Tikna in Bovel, to be mashed in the Torah once every year, and in Marova, in Israel, once every 3 years. I once heard that we use the word Parsha and we use the word Sedra. Why these two? That one belongs to the three-year cycle, one belongs to the one-year cycle. I can't remember which way around it is. I don't know if anyone knows.
Parsha.
So we do the Sedra. So we do the Sedra, do the Parsha. But people do use it interchangeably. So the original takana was to lane, but not specifically the Parsha Shavua. And then afterwards, the takana was to lane. To lay in the Parshas on Shabbos, either once every year or once every 3 years. If Yontov Chal is Chal on Shabbos, then we are Docher, the Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos, and we lay the Yontov laning. So now let's discuss on a regular Yontov, nothing to Yontov Sheni Shal, because a regular Yontov, which is also on Shabbos. So we lay the Yontov laning. So he declares a Shaila. When we lay on that Shabbos, are we laning because it's Yontov only, or are we also laning because it's Shabbos?
The Parsha is what we learn, and the Sedra is what they learn in Israel. Because in Yevayikra, it says here at the end, with 10 Parshas and 23 Sedorim.
It says that. That's in the... Right, 10 Parshas...
The scum of the...
What's it say?
10 Parshas...
10 Parshas and 23 Sedorim.
Now, what's that mean?
So obviously, if there are more...
Then 10 Parshas...
The 10 Parshas are the 10 Sedras of Yevayikra.
What's the 23 Sedorim mean?
What's Sedorim?
In the three-year cycle.
Oh, it's a 23 storm. Okay, 10 parshas, 23 storm. Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah,
so that's
the other way. Because we've got centers names, and we've got centers 54 yeah. centers which we count every year.
Yeah.
So we have got 54 centers.
It's true, but we also call them parshas. So the parshas are for Bovel, the 1 year cycle, and the centers and Eretz Israel. Okay. It's interesting what names we use. I once put up a notice in a shul. I spoke about the Amida. Do you know what I mean by the Amida? I was criticized for using it. I was told that that's not... the Ashkenazim don't use the word Amida, I was told.
The Ashkenazim use the word
Amida. Ashkenazim, even when it comes to Shabbos, you look at Ashkenazi Polska, but even when it's talking about Shabbos, when it's not 18 or 19 brachos, they speak about the Shmona Esrei. So we've got the Shmona Esrei Shabbos, which is a very strange phrase. But there's a lot of phrases to use. You have to think twice about who uses which phrases. Anyway.
Says Amida.
Says Amida.
Yeah.
All right, so I was okay then. Okay. Right, so coming back to the question of on Yontif, you are laning on a Yontif, which is also Shabbos. Are you laning because it's Yontif, or are you laning because it's Shabbos as well? You have seven aliyahs. So he says, arrive from the fact that seven aliyahs. You see, we're not just laning because it's Yontif, we're also laning because it's Shabbos. Okay, so now he has a shayla like this. What happens if, you know, there's a halacha, that let's say there's one Sefer Torah, and there's a psul in the Sefer Torah. You're laning Parshas Lech Lecha. And you know there's a psul somewhere in Shemois, and in Vayikra, and in Bamidbar, and somewhere in Devarim. So the Ramah says, if you know how to say for, you can lay, since that Choymesh, the Bereshis Choymesh, that fifth, the Bereshis is Sholem, you can lay from Bereshis. So what happens if you want to, it's Yontif, you want to lay in Parshas Aser to Aser, because that's the Yontif laning. But there's a psul in Devarim. And it happens to Parshas Acharei Mois, and Vayikra, you know, is Sholem in the Sefer Torah, you've got no other Sefer. What do you do? So do you lay from Vayikra? Because since when we lain on Yom Tov, we're also laning because of Shabbos. The Pshat is just they were docher, the Shabbos laning, but here, because you can't do the Yom Tov laning, what are you going to do? Do you do the Shabbos laning?
The Shabbos laning is to be mashed in the whole Torah.
Right.
That's why you do each Seder separately.
Right.
The repeating of a Yom Tov laning is a repetition of something.
Right.
But it's not impacting on the Hashemonis of the...
So therefore...
You should be able to lane it.
You should be able to lane the Shabbos laning.
Yeah. Should be, okay. Yeah.
Can you mishana for maybe? It's interesting they mentioned this. But here, where you've got no other eight, so maybe then it's not different. You're not being mishana from the Beishetov Chachomim because you've got no other eight, and but etzim, you should be leading this parasha on Shabbos. What we do the next Shabbos is interesting, Shaila. What's going to happen next Shabbos? You've already done Parashat Zachari.
Doesn't matter. So
he brings interesting.
What does it matter if you repeat the same?
Okay. So the etzim, it's clear, it's going to come in later. The gabi a ben chutzaritz.
If the
gabi the takana of Moshe Rabbeinu to lay on Shabbos, you've been noticed that takana. Yeah. But there's another takana to lay in the correct parishes. That's the Shabbat. So what do you do then? Take a chumash. No, but since you can use the one chumash that's kosher, the vayikra is kosher, can you do that? So let me ask you another question. It's Purim, and you haven't got a Megillas Esther. Now the Gemara says that the reason why we don't say Hallel on Purim is Kriyos Zehu Hilula. The lady of the Megillah is like saying the Hallel. It's more welcome to saying Hallel. If you haven't got a Megillah, what do you do? So do you say Hallel instead? So the Meiri says that. The Meiri says that the din is if you haven't got a Megillah, you say Hallel.
With the Bracha?
Yeah, with the Bracha. Presumably he means with the Bracha because the Gemara says Kriyos Zehu Hilula. Others disagree because they say there are other teretzim in the Gemara why it is that we don't say Hallel. So how do you know that's that we pass it like that teretz? That's one answer. And that others disagree and say no. It's true the Gemara says that be'etzim we should be saying Hallel, but the Chazal Masak in the Megillah. But once they're Masak in the Megillah, you can no longer be yotz with Hallel. There is no takana to say Hallel on Purim. The takana is to say only the Megillah, not to say Hallel. So. Yeah, that's right. That's what he says. Okay, so maybe he's talking about an Eretz Yisrael. That could be he's talking about an Eretz Yisrael. Or it could be the Meiri Paskins. The Meiri presumably is passing to the main Torah. Why we don't say it's because that the Megillah is instead of the Hallel. So therefore, that would apply even the Chutz Lareitz. But the fact that there's that other reason, that others disagree and say, you can't, how do you know we pass like that reason? Maybe we pass like the reason because of Akati Abdi Tachashverish Hanan. So there's different other Torahs in the Gorah. So how do you know which one's the Torah, which is the right Torah? That's one case he says it's similar to. Another case is, what's the halacha if you have a tzibur on a Tanis tzibur and they're not fasting? The whole tzibur is not fasting. What's the din there? You've got a Tanis tzibur and the whole. So again, it's machlokis, what do you do there? Whether or not you do the negative laning. So I forgot to mention. So talk about a Monday and Thursday, where anyway you should be laning. If you haven't got a minion of people who are fasting, do you then instead do the normal laning?
You have to have an actual minion, you have to row about seven.
Right, you'd have to row. But let's say you haven't got, everyone's not fasting, the whole lot of them. Let's say there's a plague going on, the whole of them are not. Right, so there's a machlokes there what you do. But even he says that even if you take on that on a tannis, you do the regular laning, he says because on a tannis, it's not the day of the tannis which is machived the kriyas, the hatorah of a tannis, it's the absolute fact that people are fasting. But if they're not fasting, then you go back to the regular laning. But here he says on Yom Tov, Chazal will mechayiv, the Yom of Yom Tov is mechayiv that particular kriya of Yom Tov and not of Shabbos. So therefore he says that if you haven't got the opportunity to lay in the Yom Tov laning, you would not lay in the Shabbos laning. Another example he gives, nobody can lay in the Yom Tov laning. There's no one there who can lay in the Yom Tov laning. They couldn't even do it like a way that would work with the Eved. And there's a Shabbos Bar Mitzvah by the Shabbos Bar actually knows. So it says you couldn't do that because once Chazal was sucking that the Kriya is the Yom Tov Kriya, then you can't do so for Shabbos. Okay, you can't then do the Shabbos laning instead. Now, coming back to the Shaila about the Ben Eretz Yisrael is in Chutz Aretz. No, the other way around. The Ben Chutz Aretz is in Eretz Yisrael. Last Shabbos, can you get an Aliyah or not? So if you said that if you couldn't do the laning of Yom Tov, then you could do the Shabbos laning, then Avada you get an aliyah. But he says we take on not like that. The Betz of the Takana is the Kriya of Yom Tov and not of Shabbos, which would indicate that maybe he shouldn't be able to get an aliyah.
Well,
Mincha
should be.
We'll come to Mincha. There's interesting stories about Mincha. We'll come to that in a minute.
He says
because up to now we're talking about when it's Yom Tov, full-fledged Yom Tov and Shabbos together. But here, you're in Eretz Yisrael, where for Eretz Yisrael it's just a normal Shabbos. They have a mitzvah to do Kriyas HaTorah of a normal Shabbos. So you, as a Ben Chutz Aretz, can have an aliyah, because for them, it's a regular Shabbos with a regular Kriyas HaTorah of Acharein. Now, coming on to Mincha, it's interesting situations you get like this. Let's say you have a minion of Ben Chutz Aretz, so make a minion Eretz Yisrael. And there were some Gedolim who weren't happy with this. They held it was a zilzul in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, that you've got a whole minion of people who are together getting up and saying, we're not living in Eretz Yisrael, we're Ben Chutz Aretz. They didn't hold of making minionim, but it's very well known that it's accepted that the people make minionim. So you have a Ben Chutz Aretz who's made his own minion in Eretz Yisrael last Shabbos, so what would he lane? He's made his own Chutz Aretz minion. So he's made the Yontif lane. Right. Now, let's say he knows he's staying on for another week. So next Shabbos, this coming Shabbos, when we're going to lay in Acharei, he'll still be in Eretz Yisrael. So he wants to hear the laning. So the whole minyan, they lay the Yontif laning, they daven, they finish the Musaf. By the way, I was once in a shul, when, you know, with this Hashlomah, I was once in a shul in Eretz Yisrael, a really slow Eretz Yisrael like a minyan, a really sheevish minyan. And they laned, and the Bnei Chutz Aretz then made their own minyan for laning, and they did the double sedra. And they did Musaf, and they came back before the first minyan finished. I could see they were like, it's like a sport. Can we finish two parashas and the Musaf beforehand? It was all their pent-up frustration, because there's a difference in speed between Chutz Aretz and Israel, that they were finally off, we could do it. They got on, and they said it very quickly, and they went back in. So you have this minyan. The Bnei Chutz Aretz have davened, and they've lained the Yontif laning. They want to hear the laning, so they're going to hear Pashas Acharei of the Bnei Israel, and then they make a Yontif minyan for Mincha. So what are they laying at Mincha time? Acharei. Yeah. He said they have to lay past Acharei. Why? Because it would be a contradiction if they would do the Yontif davening and then do Kedoshim. Because if they do the Yontif davening, they're saying it's Yontif. So therefore they have to do Acharei. What happens if they get together in the weekday? It's 10 Bnei Chutz to get together in the weekday. Yesterday, on Thursday. So what do they lay? They do Kedoshim? Yeah, they do Kedoshim. Yeah, so even though Shabbos afternoon they did Acharei, now, because they only did Shabbos afternoon Acharei because they were keeping Yontif, and so they had to do the laning of Acharei like Chutz Aretz. But once it's not Yontif anymore, they go back to the Minhag HaMokum, and they will do Pash Kedoshim.
I heard somebody pass in a case where Bnei Yisrael in Chutz Aretz in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. Should
lay
in Shabbos Mincha the whole
set. That's what they do.
Yes, right. Yes, that's right. They do that. There are two different minhagim. One is what some people do is the Bnei Chutz. Some people made a minyan here, and they did Acharei and Kedoshim together. They did Acharei Kedoshim.
Because there's no Acharei Kedoshim together this year. Because this year you've got a problem. We've got Acharei. Why don't we next week just do Kedoshim? They do Acharei Moed Kedoshim together, and we'll do Acharei.
Right.
So we'll all be straight, won't we? If we had Acharei Moed Kedoshim together, and they do Kedoshim,
right,
we would be all straight. Why do we wait to Bahab Kedoshim?
Ah, right. So I think B'Shem Alevush, he says that certain, when we do a double search, we try and get a parasha that is, the two parashas that are shaykh together. It is shaykh together, but he says that we wait for Matos Masay because that's more shaykh. I didn't check up on the look that we actually, no,
the
when we,
is,
so because the Matos and Masay are more close together.
No, the reason is not much matter for close together, just the Achmed Sedation. The reason is for a different reason.
Yeah.
We are not concerned, this is a very important point, what Eretz Yisrael do. We are Chutz Loretz and Eretz Yisrael, not Eretz Yisrael. The answer is because when we get to, Amidbar has to be before Shavuos.
Right.
And if Amidbar comes out before Shavuos, comes after Shavuos, yes, middle of Shavuos, we have to line two sentences together
to make sure that
that's why they wait till the last moment.
Right.
They're not interested in us. We have no Shaykhs with Eretz Yisrael. We are Chutz Loretz. Yeah. They are Eretz Yisrael. And we are Chutz Loretz. Because that's how it is. We only have to wait. We can only put together when it's a necessity, not when it's not a necessity. You are Achim Moed Kedoshim is only a convenience, and Matas Masay is a necessity.
Right. Okay. Now, I would like to now move on. His second teshuva is a very interesting teshuva about what happens when you have a ship. going to Eretz Yisrael, and there are B'nai Eretz Yisrael and B'nai Chutz Eretz on the ship. Now I'd like to actually tell you a little story about another Rabbi Stern, Rabbi Moshe Aaron Stern, Zichron Livracha, the Mashgiach of Kamenitz. So I used to hear his shmuzen a lot, and he has the interesting story about when he went to live in when he went to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if you heard on the news that yesterday, the first time for 50 years, a ship went to Cuba. That's right. What was it called, the ship? Anyone know? Jewish name, Adonia. I don't know, it's named after Adonio. So, but this story is about the first ship which went to Eretz Yisrael after the Second World War. Rav Moshe Aaron Stern was a Talmud of Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, who had a tremendous ahava for Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Moshe Aaron's ambition, he'd really wanted to go to learn in the yeshivas in Europe, but they were all decimated. So he transposed his wish to go to learn the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. But that was the time when the British were in control and they were letting nobody in. Finally, they relented and they issued 35 visas. Now, Rav Moshe Aaron had gone to his uncle, Rav Scheinberg Zichron Livracha, and he said to him, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. He said, well, what have you done about it? He said, nothing. He said, well, pack up your bags, make sure you've got a passport, make sure you're ready, and you do what you want, and Hashem will do the rest. So he did that. Then the British gave 35 visas for people to come from America, and certain went to different sort of secular groups, and two went to Aguda, and they were granted to two families. And Rav Moshe Aaron went to his Rebbe, Rav Shlaga Feivel, and said to him, I'd like to go. And he said, no, you can't go, because the same visa applies for family or an individual. So you can't go, leave it up to a family. One of the two families, the mother fell ill shortly before the ship was due to go. So there was no one else available, but because Rav Moshe Aaron listened to his uncle and was ready to go, he was able to go. So again, he goes to Rav Shlaga Feivel and he says, yes, you can go, but only on condition that you don't go as an American. So what do you mean? He said, well, the Americans go, they take one sniff of Eretz Yisrael and they come back again. He says, if you go, you're going to settle up a family. So he said, well, what happens if I don't find my zivug there? He says, Yemitzah will find your zivug there, but you should go there. So he did, he found the zivug there and he stayed there. So now he had to get on the ship. The ship was leaving on a Shabbos. So he decided, what do you do? So he was told. So he went to Rav Bik Zichron Livracha, who told him that if he gets on the ship before Shabbos, and he's Konish Shavisa before Shabbos, puts his things there, then he can go back and stay in New York and get on the ship on Shabbos afternoon, just before it leaves, which he did. So Shabbos morning, he dabbled with him in his father. His father was an accountant known for his honesty. He was a very choshevid, and he used to daven from the Omud Yom Noraim. And this particular Shabbos morning, his father was davening from the Omud, and when it got to Or Chodesh Al Tzion Toi, he broke out in tears because he knew he was sending his son to an area where hostilities between the Jews and the Arabs could break out at any time, and the whole shul went with him. So after davening, he went onto to the ship, and they went to Eretz Yisrael. They left. Now there were 300 Arabs on the ship, 335 Jews, of which 35 were frum. So the Jews, the Frum Jews, they brought their own food with them. And after a few days, the captain summoned them to his office. And he said, I don't understand. You're not turning up at the meals. And they explained, yes, we need kosher food. He asked, what have you got? And he said, they brought stuff with them, but nothing very grand. He said, I've traveled over the seas, and I'm not prepared to have this on my ship. You're not catered for properly. So he turfed out his own officers from their own galley, and he asked them what they need, and they cashed it. And the sailors used to buy them fresh, used to catch fresh fish for them every day. And this is how they survived the journey. Now everything went well.
2 weeks.
What?
For America, it was 2 weeks.
So it was 2 weeks. Well, it doesn't say how long. Maybe it was a bit long in those days.
What?
Depends on the prevailing winds. So they had got as far as Naples, and they'd all gone off to see the sights at Naples, and they got back on the ship, and the ship had set sail. And Rav Moshe was sitting, relaxing, and he noticed a group of Arabs singing a very beautiful melody. And they were wearing these long white clothes and swaying slowly, and they were singing this melody, and he thought it was very beautiful. So he went to his cabin mate, who was a man called Rakovsky, is a mishpacha of the Rakovsky here in town, who later became the chief rabbi of the police in Eretz Yisrael. So this Rakovsky lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he'd been stranded in New York during the war. And he went to him and said, come and look at this beautiful singing. And he didn't even want to come. He said, no, please, come. He came, and the moment he saw it, he froze. And he said, this is trouble. He said, this is the chant that they do when they're working themselves up into a pogrom. So there's obviously trouble. So they saw one Arab man standing a bit to the side, and they gave him a cup of a drink, and they offered him some money, and he explained to them that they were very insulted that this ship, which was the first one going to Palestine after the war, was going to dock at Haifa, the Jewish port. And they said, "We bought knives in Naples, and we're going to take over the ship and force the ship to go to Beirut." So they went straight to the captain, and the captain gathered a meeting of people together, and he said, "Well, I'm not prepared to make a give in to one side rather than the other, but what I will do is I'll make a compromise, and we'll go to Alexandria instead, and that's where we'll stay, and we'll stop there, and you can all get off there, but then you'll have to cover your own expenses for your onward journey." So everything calmed down. And except the only problem was, because of the change of schedule, they landed on Shabbos. So when it came to getting off the ship, it was Shabbos afternoon. So the captain said, "Right, everyone's got to sign the papers." And they said, "Well, we can't sign. And we can't get off the ship either because of the problem of Tchumim." So they explained to him the problem. And he was a bit exasperated. But he said, "All right, so the signing I'll get my officer to do. But you can stay on the ship, but we've got to unload your stuff. And you know that the docks here, they're full of robbers. I can't take any responsibility for your stuff." Yes. So he unloads the stuff. And they stand watching it, and then it's time to daven mincha. So they all go to daven mincha, and when they come back, everything's gone. So they swallow, what can they do? And as they're leaving the ship, the captain says to them, "Do you think I would let your stuff be stolen?" He said, "I've travelled all over the world, and I've seen people, when it comes to money, their religion suddenly goes overboard. I wanted to see what you would do. I was convinced you'd run off the ship to find your stuff. And now I'm convinced that your religion is the true religion." And he said to them, "I'm going to now give you some pocket money, and you can stay in the best hotel in Alexandria, and I'm providing you with your fares to your onward journey." When Rav Moshe Aaron Stern met his uncle, who was all for the boss, Rabbi Herman, who by then was living in Eretz Yisrael, he made the brocha, Machai Mesim, and he told him that he'll get more schar for that Shabbos than all the other Shabbos in his lifetime. Okay, so that is the story of Moshe Aaron on the ships. So coming back to Rav Salo Stern and the issue of on a ship, if you've got Bnei Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Chutz Aretz. Now, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are going back to Eretz Yisrael. Do they have to keep Yom Tov Sheni? They're on the ship. Do they have to keep Yom Tov Sheni? They've been in Chutz Aretz, so they have to keep Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz Aretz Pnei HaMachlokis. They can't do Malacha, even Betzina. Now they're on the ship. Do they have to keep Yom Tov Sheni anymore? They're in Chutz Aretz, yes.
A mixture of Jews on
the ship. Yes. The answer is no, they don't have to. Because they're not. The reason why you mustn't be Mishana from the Minhag HaMokom where you've got a Kehillah. If you're in a Kehillah, then you've got to keep Yontif. But if you're not in a Kehillah, and this wasn't a Kehillah, it was just a group of Yidden on the ship together, they don't have to keep Yontif. So the Bnei Eretz Yisrael not keeping Yontif, and the Bnei Chutz Aretz are. So what do you do about the Minyan? So ever since I saw in Be'er Moshe, that he says that they should make a minyan together, and they should let's say it's the Acharei Mos Kadoshim, like in our case, it was second day Yontif. For the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, it's now past Acharei, because it's Yisru Chag for them, and for the Chutz Aretz, it's still Yontif. So he says that they should do the parshas together, Acharei Mos, and then I think I'm getting this wrong. He's talking about where for one it was Acharei and one it was Kadoshim. He said you do the parshas together. That's what he says. Now Rav Salo Stern, he says they should make separate minyanim. But what happens if you have got a minyan made up of Bnei Eretz and Bnei Chutz Aretz? So what do you do? You haven't got, let's say, just 10 of them. So he considers various possibilities. So what happens if you've got 8 Bnei Chutz Aretz and 2 Bnei Eretz Yisrael? And it's the second day Yontif. So what would you do? You go Basta Roiv and you'd make a minyan, and what would you lay? Let's say it's 8 Bnei Chutz Aretz, so what would you lay? So for the Bnei Chutz Aretz, it's Yontif laning. The Bnei Yisrael, it's weekday laning. It's the next Shabbat, it's Parshas Acharei. So what do you do? So he says that if it's the Roiv, then you have to go after Bnei Chutz Aretz, and they should lane the Yontif laning, and the Bnei Yisrael can be mitzaref with them. But what happens if it's 7? Can you see the problem? What happens if there's 7 Bnei Chutz Aretz and 3 Bnei Yisrael? Still Roiv. But what are you going to do about the laning?
You need eight people.
Right. So what do you do? You need 8 people, and you've only got 7 Bnei Chutz Aretz. And the Chatzchila, you shouldn't call up a Bnei Eretz Yisrael for the Chutz laning. So he says, Mi'ikar Adin, the Maftir is Ola Mishiv HaKurim. If you call up 6 people, and the Maftir counts for the 7 Aliyahs. So he says that's what you should do. You should do six aliyahs in Parshas. You do the laning for Yom Tov, and you do six aliyahs, and the seventh aliyah is Maftu. Right. And then he talks about when the sixth.
And the Tanas we do that.
Right.
Tanas Sibba we do that.
Yeah, but that, you've only got five.
Yeah, but no, Tanas Sibba.
What, if
Shlishi says Maftu and Mincha.
Right. Okay. Okay, that's right, because you mean because Olam in Akruv, yes, that's right, yeah, it's Olam in Akruv. So that's what he says. And then he speaks about six and five, there's lots of different combinations. Now, there's another interesting question. What happens if you've got a parsha, it's Tazria Metzora, and then you've got a double parsha, which is the one you've missed, and you want to be matched in that parsha? Can you do three lanings? Like on Bnei Yisrael, some of them, what they did last Shabbos. Well, they did Acharei. Now, if they would stay in, they could. They do the thing. They do parshas. Can you do three parshas? Can you be mashed in three parshas instead of two?
It's never done.
Usually, when the Chazal Nishon is very ill, and after he recovered,
they laid the various parshas. Okay, so the ma'aseh happens like this. Is nothing to do with Bnei Chutz Haaretz Bnei Yisrael. There was a ma'aseh like this, probably in Eretz Yisrael. This is a Kovitz based Aaron v'Yisrael. Rav Shmuel Rosenbaum has a shaila like this. There was a shul. It's in a village in Eretz Yisrael where there was torrential rain one Shabbos and they couldn't make a minyan. So the next Shabbos they wanted a lane and be mashlim. It says in the Ramor that if from the Ozarua, if bitlu Shabbos achos kriyas haparsha b'tzibur, the Shabbos habo koin oso parsha im haparsha hashaychal oso Shabbos. So this is the Ozarua. For one Shabbos, for some reason they didn't lane. So the next Shabbos they make up the laning. So now you have a tzibur where they missed the laning, and it was a double parsha. It was Tazir B'Tzorah they missed, and the next Shabbos was Acharei Mos Kadoshim. So if they're going to be Mashlim, how many parshas are going to be laning?
Four.
So the first question is, can you be Mashlim in such a case? The case of the Ozarua was a case where there was a shul, and they davened, and for some reason they didn't lane. Here you have a situation where they didn't lane at all. Should that be any different? See, there's a shaila. Laning is a chiv on the tzibur. Pashtus, we learn it's a chiv on the tzibur. I'll tell you, when it came to last Shabbos, one of my sons-in-law went to a minyan to hear the laning of the Acharei. And one of my other sons-in-law said, I'm not going. He says, although I'm going to be in Israel, it's a chiv on the tzibur. I'm a yochid. The tzibur is doing it on the laning. That's what I do. I'm not b'chuv to go there. So there's two different views on this, whether it's a chiv on the tzibur, or whether it's a chiv on the yochid. The Brisker Rav declares the shaila. He says it's a chiv on the tzibur to do. When you get a tzibur together, then they have to lane. But yochidim don't have to. Or it could be that it's a chiv on each yochid to lane. It's just that there's a tanai, you have to have 10 of them, 10 yochidim. And nafka minu would be what happened if you have a minyan made of 6 people who haven't heard the laning and 4 who've already heard the laning. If you say it's a chiv on each yochid, you haven't got 10 yochidim. If you say it's a chiv on the sibra, then you have to yochid. So there's a machlokis in the case where they didn't lane last Shabbos because there was no minyan at all. There's a machlokis whether or not in such a case you have to lane or not. Because the case of the Ozero was where there was a minyan, but there was no, but they didn't lane. So there was a sibra, they had a chiv to lane, they had to be mashed in the next week. But if there was no sibra at all, then some say there's no chiv to lane, but the Rosh Poskim say there is a chiv to do so. Now, what happens if there is there's a minyan of in town, but there's 10 people who are out of town, and they didn't hear? Let's say in summer holidays, is there a chiv then? You're out in summer holidays, you haven't got a minyan, you come back. Is there a chiv to mash the laning? So they're definitely not, because you're out there as a yochid. You belong to your tzibur. The tzibur were laning, and they did lane. You just weren't there. Then there's no chiyuv to be mashlim. There is an inyan, some people do it, but there's certainly no chiyuv to be mashlim. But here in a situation where the shul couldn't get together because there were floods, that's his shaila. And his master.
What did they do on the second
Monday, Thursday? Yeah, they would do the following week laning, yeah, definitely. They would do the tachon is you do, even though you didn't do the last week's laning. On Shabbos, you didn't do the laning, you still do the following weeks. Right, you go back. Now, will I just ask you a question? When you, let's say somebody misses Shmona Esrei, right, so they daven a Tashlumim. What do they do first, the Chiyuv or the Tashlumim? The Chiyuv. Let's say somebody missed them laning, what do they do? So they missed Acharei Mos, so now they're laning Kadoshim. They've got to do Acharei as well. What do they do first?
Obviously, Acharei Kadoshim.
You've got to go Kaseda. That's why the answer is that you go Kaseda. Because there's a Seder of the Torah, you do Achrei and then you do Kedoshim. Even though not in other cases you do the Tashlumim afterwards. But here you obviously follow the Seder of the Torah. What happens is they missed Tashlumim and Torah, and now they do Achrei and Kedoshim. So the Maskana was, even though they didn't lane at all last week, there was no minyan, they do it lane. How do you do it? You've got four parshas to lane. Yeah, that's a bit half a Bal Kori.
Give each one. Kohen, lady, and he saw you and two parshas.
Right.
That's what I
okay.
Mean.
So.
Otherwise, it'd be too long. You wouldn't have anybody listening.
Right.
Well, we do that. You know why we do that? Yeah. When they want to line Achamos Kadesh Machitz Lutz in Exodus, let's say they want to line, they give the Shlishi, he finishes the whole set.
Right. Yeah, no, they do that, yes. Because you want to make the Ikka Kareh and what's your Machoyev, which is just the Rishon, and they do it here. So there, again, on this, there are different days. Some say you split it up equal, and some say that you first person does the whole of Achrei Kadoshim. No, it's Tajrim and Sora and the Acharei, and then you do the aliyahs. The main aliyahs should be for the actual parsha that you're meant to be laying on that day. So these are the many permutation and combinations. I just want to finish with one question, for which I don't have an answer. In a different shuva, the Pesela Chochma talks about the inyan of the date line. Right, we know there's an international date line, there's a halacha date line. I'm sure there's been shirim. There must have been shirim about this here before. He mentions Bein Adavorim. He says, if the dateline, the halachic dateline, is drabonon. Now, what's he mean by that? It could be the whole idea of having a dateline, al pi halacha, is drabonon. Now, I don't understand what that means. Because there must be a point at which the day changes over. One side it's Shabbos, or one side it's Sunday. Now, we know the Chachamim have the power to, for example, make a Yom Tosheni and stop us doing the bits of tefillin and so on, and stocker, b'sheva al taisi. They can stop us from doing the mitzvahs of Hayom, b'sheva al taisi, for the reasons they saw. But they can't make us do a kum asay. So if it's drabonon, it means midraisa, let's say it's Shabbos, how can you say midrabonon, it's not Shabbos, it's Sunday, and allow you to do malocha? Because then you're actually doing malocha, but kum asay, you're doing an action of breaking Shabbos. How can that be? So that is, I don't know, I just see.
I was in Yom Tov Sheni, and I kept Yom Tov Sheni, and I didn't.
I'm not talking about Israel, I'm talking about Fiji. I mean, you're in Fiji.
Yeah.
You're in Fiji, and Fiji is a whole question of which side of the dateline is it? Yeah, so you're in Japan, we all know in the Second World War, in Japan, the whole problem. If you say that, he says that the Kaaba Tariq is Rabbonin, it means Midrash is something else. How can you possibly be doing different from what the Midrash says? If, for example, if Midrash is Shabbos, you can't Midrabon and make it Sunday. That is my question. And I will leave you that with that question, Mitzvah, and maybe another time.
Really, Midrash was probably this whole idea that the landmass continued down to more than 90 degrees, and not only to the Shemesh,